about you, but I'm glad something got a hold. Well, something got a hold on me. Some of y'all need to let something get a hold of you tonight.
Something got a hold on me.
Oh. Well, I went to the meeting one night, and my heart was in mine. But I said, something got a hold on me. Oh, the Holy Ghost got a hold on me. They got a hold of me.
The Holy Ghost got a hold on me.
They got a hold of me. He got a hold of me. Don't you know that I went to a meeting one night,
and my heart was in mine.
But you see, the Holy Ghost got a hold on me. I said something got a hold,
something got a hold on me.
Oh, oh, I said something got a hold on me.
I
went to a meeting one night.
Right. Good morning. Time to start our service this morning. Good looking crowd for a Sunday, the last Sunday in 2025, I believe it is. So we appreciate you coming out and spending that time with us. And we're going to ask the ushers if they would come first to come and wait on our for our tithe and offering. I know Ted mentioned a little bit last week, a little bit what we give to, and it's amazing how God just continually answers prayers and meets needs. And I think it's because you all give. And me and Pearl was talking about it one time. Somebody else was needing help and this and that, you know, and we try to help what we can when we can. And so we'll just keep giving it away, and God will keep putting them back. And it's good to be a part of a church that doesn't hoard things, but we do ministry with that. And it's because of your giving, your tithing, and we certainly appreciate that. So if everybody would just bow your heads just for a moment. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and thankful, God, for this day that you've given us, for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord, that's made a way that we can come boldly for the throne of grace in a time of need. We thank you, Father, for the tithers, the givers, Lord, and the offering, the tithe that we're about to receive. And we just pray, God, that you would use it for the uplift and build of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, as they wait on you for your tithe and offering, we were talking about there, actually, this is probably one of the better Sundays for me to open up. It's the fifth Sunday, one of the better Sundays for me to open up, do the announcements, because we don't have any, as I usually mess those up. We do have one quick one, though. About mid-January, I think second week of January, be looking for the groups to start up again. Excited about that. I think there's several good groups that's going to get cranked up then. I'm going to do one. Because Ted will do the same when he gets up here. I'm going to tout my own group here just for a second. I'll be doing a 8-week study on how to study the Bible and sometimes how we misinterpret the Bible. And I'm using the tagline that sometimes, when we read the scripture, we don't mean to, but we see things as we are instead of things as they are. And so a lot of times how you was raised and your background, so many things can play into how you read the scripture. We're going to talk a little bit about that during that, but we're also going to talk about how to break the Bible down into certain sections, how to study, how to get the most out of it, tools that you can use, and things of that nature. So I'm always excited about that. A lot of times when I get to teach Sunday school, if it just works out to where I teach Sunday school, more times than not, I'll teach on how to read the scripture and understand the scripture, because I believe if you catch a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So I feel like if I can teach you how to read the scripture and understand it better, it's going to help you far more than what a one spiritual truth that I can give you one time. And I know we can't do that every Sunday, but if you want a little bit more in-depth on how to study and understand the scripture, that'll be my group on Wednesday evenings. We'll probably even eat a little bit. If I'm involved, we're going to eat. I didn't get this way by being shy. Be on the lookout for that, and I'm sure the other groups will sort of start promoting theirs a little bit as we go. But this morning, we got a special time here for Josh to come and preach his first message, and man, we're excited about that. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise about that. Not sure how nervous he is. I know first time I done it, my knees were having fellowship behind the pulpit. There was a knocking and a beating and a going on. They probably couldn't hear me for the chattering of my knees having fellowship. And we've been praying for him that he does a whole lot better than the first time I preached. I remember the first time I preached, I sat down, and man, I felt so defeated, you know, and sort of the next day at work, somebody asked me, a guy that I'd been witnessing to, he was lost. He said, "You preached last night, didn't you, first time?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "How'd you do?" I said, "It's better to flop for the Lord than flip for the devil." So I felt like I flopped. I'm sure Josh isn't going to feel that way. I think we've sort of done right by him and bringing him along, and he's ready to go, and we're excited about that. So, and the choir's going to set the stage for that. So if everybody would, let's stand and get ready to worship the Lord with the choir. I usually do this. If you've been around here at the end of the year or beginning of the year, a lot of times when I'm up front, I'll mention Caleb, Joshua, how after years of walking around the same mountain, they got ready to go in and take the promise that they had wanted to claim 40 years earlier that God had promised them. And if you remember Caleb, he stood up and he said, "Give me this mountain." He was 80 years old and he was still alive. And he said, "Look, I'm as strong now as I was back then." And I would imagine we could all say that we've been through things this past year, some tragedy, some high spots, but we've all been through the ups and downs of 2025. But when it's all said and done, you can stand and say that God was faithful. Amen. Through every up, through every down. Amen. Has God been faithful to you in 2025? All right, let's give him his best. Let's give him the best here as we close out 2025 with the choir.
Strength in the battle, I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven, my hope is secure. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains, now I dance on solid ground. He bore all of my burdens, yeah, my debt has been paid. Then he said to my dry bones, rise up out of that grave. He is all of my worship, all the honor and praise. Well, I've got joy because I've got Jesus. Oh, he gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus. So I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. Oh, I've got joy. Yeah, I've got joy never ending. Cause he called my name. Every breath I breathe, a testament of amazing grace. Oh, hallelujah, everything has changed. Oh, I've got joy, yeah, I've got joy. He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. All he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy like a river running through my soul. Joy all around me, everywhere I go. Even in the desert, still it overflows. I've got Jesus.
Clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Sing it with us. message today is about His goodness and His faithfulness, because we're entering into a new year, and we've got to think and know how good He's been to us in the past, but also all He's going to do for us in 2026. Amen? Amen. Sing this with us this morning.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know
worthy, guys. He is worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered.
He's my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Praise, for he is so, so worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Let me get everything lined out here. Ain't it nice to enjoy that presence? I love it. I really do. And like Terry, I told Terry, I said, man, you gonna preach on what I'm preaching on this morning or what? You know, he done a wonderful job and just brought stuff forth. But I hope y'all had a very Merry Christmas. I hope all the babies got all the toys. I hope everybody gained 20 pounds, but it looked like you gained 3. But coming back, this is the last Sunday of the year. We're about to step into unknown ground. We don't know what 26 holds. You know, it's like any other year. Everybody's got to go back to work tomorrow and all this other good stuff. But I want you to clear your mind this morning. Stop for a minute. And if you will, close your eyes with me. And I want you to imagine, like Isaiah did, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. I want you to look into the fiery eyes that John saw in Revelation and the hair like wool. I want you to get a picture of Jesus seated on the right hand of the Father. That's who we're here for. And like Terry said this morning, some of us have had a tough year. You've had death and sickness and hurt and everything else. I get it. I'm flesh too. Just because I'm called to be up here in the pulpit don't mean I'm any better than any of you. You're supposed to be doing this out there. All of us. We're not preachers. Quit putting preachers on pedestals. We don't belong up here. We're just as normal as you. What I'm bringing today is something that God laid on my heart, because so many people, like Terry said this morning, you got a hold of God in one hand, and it's wonderful at times. But then you walk out the doors and grab the world again. You cannot live like that. Jesus called that lukewarm. I picture a fence. Y'all watch a cat walk a fence? You ever seen cats? Walking that fence, and on one side, listen, both sides are eternity. This is something that your mind can't comprehend because you don't think about it ever. Eternity, that is forever. On one side, you got grace in the kingdom. And on the other, you have hell. And no, Josh ain't here to beat you with hell, okay? Just calm down, I'm getting there. Quit walking the fence post. It's time to get serious. We are the closest generation to ever see the second coming of Christ. Do y'all understand that? It has been 2,026 years. And if you read anywhere in here, everything's already lined up. I think it's just because Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father saying, God, give them one more chance. Give them one more day. I know they'll do it. Just give them one more day. So, moving on into this. And you've heard me talk about this before, but this comes straight back to me when I was trying to prepare a sermon. In the beginning, God would speak. Mountains would just form, you know. I'm sure grass and trees would just sprout. Seas would hold where they were. The stars were aligned, everything. But see, something flipped on the sixth day. God said, let us. I'm sure, Teddy, he looked at that Holy Spirit that was hovering over the waters, and then looked back at the Word that was with God and was God and said, let us make man in our image. You are designed by the Creator. crafted. Listen, he spoke everything else. You want to know what he did with dust? He made Adam and then breathed his own breath into his lungs. You are formed in your mother's womb, and then the breath of God flows into you. You want to know something real quick? Just something I heard a little while ago. Like Bible scholars and stuff, you know, very intelligent men, more intelligent than me. They said the first breath we take is Yahweh. Y'all get that? The very breath that you got breathed into you when life come in is the same breath you take and you put God on high. That's the first word everybody in here said when you come out of the womb. When you took that first breath there was Yahweh. You're proclaiming God at this stage. You were made to have relationship. You weren't made to be cut off, to get saved and then die. You weren't meant for any of that. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have, that Pastor Sean and all you guys have given me, to be discipled, to be pushed, and grow. You see the growth. Look at this place. I told Matt earlier, I said, my goodness, Teddy's going to have to close that door. So they just keep coming in. Now, we have God creating you. Now Jesus shows up. Emmanuel. I love that series, by the way, Sean. I thought that was wonderful. God with us. And he comes and shows us a perfect life, sinless life, and shows us how we're supposed to operate and do things. And then he gets on a cross and had every one of you on his mind. Me, in my ignorance and ugliness. All of you guys, when you were ignorant and ugly, listen, we've all been ugly. It's just by the grace of God we're not now. But went anyways, knowing that I may not ever choose him. Ever. You are loved with a love that they describe in the Greek as agape. And I know you've heard Ted and them talk about this, but listen to me. Agape in the Greek means a selfless, unconditional love. I love my wife and my two boys. But Jesus died for me and died for every one of you and gave it all up from the manger to the cross. It was all set up. And I'm sure throughout his days, he's God. He looked for, you know, looked into the future, so to speak, and seen our faces and knew. We all know that Jesus didn't want to do it. That's why he's praying in the garden. But still yet, decides to get beat. And I don't know if y'all really understand how bad he's beaten. Okay? We're talking about chunks of rib cage were being ripped out, okay? Not flesh, bone. When these nails and that glass and everything else would hit him, it was ripping him so bad through the ribs and across the back that you could see nerves. Y'all know what a nerve feels like when you got one exposed in a tooth or you got one pinched in your back. Now imagine that laying on a wooden cross. And still shows us to choose mercy, love, and grace. There's not one time you can find that he gets angry, that he gets mad in that instance. He just hushes and becomes the lamb and dies. Now what I'm trying to come and talk about today is pressing into that very thing that we just talked about. You have to press. Sometimes it's not always easy. It gets tough. Listen, we got two small boys. Elijah Blake is like the Energizer Bunny with truck batteries hooked to him, okay? He bounces off walls. it aggravates you at times because you holler at him 100 times. He won't listen, won't pick up toys, aggravating a dog. You know how it is. All of you have had babies. But even stuff like work, we let work aggravate us, you know, get us in a spot where we act like we build walls like that. I don't like that either. But sometimes you got to press into the presence of Jesus. It's time to, listen, it's time to give up this traditional garbage that we're all set in. And I'm not just talking Church of God or Baptist or any of that stuff. Listen, God designed everything so me and you could actually go to Him and talk just like me and you're talking right now and have a relationship. That's how much He loves us. That's why He died for us. Jesus done it all when He died on the cross. And in order for you to let go of the world, like Terry was talking this morning, there's not but one way for you to do this. See, when you press into the presence is when you actually press into your true identity. It's where flesh has to be stripped off and only the Spirit can stand true. You go to the throne room, you're not going with this. Listen, mine, I don't know about the rest of you, but mine is evil. I'm hateful and ugly and all these other things. Like Paul said, it's a thorn in my side. But we can't take it off until you start pressing into the presence, into the Holy Ghost, moving where we're supposed to be, because unless we get there, you're not going to minister to nobody outside of this church. Every account you have with somebody is going to be the Holy Ghost pushing you. Getting, you know, like Sean said, my knees were knocking back here 5 minutes ago. I'm baptized with fire and he's up here and now I'm not. You can minister, move, speak. I know everybody deals with like anxiety and stuff nowadays. I get that. It's not a spirit of God. Learn to lean into the Spirit of God and do what you're supposed to do. I've talked enough about that now. So if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And this is a story that is probably one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. But it's Mark chapter 5, verse 21. I'll let y'all, whoever's turning to it, you can get it there. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She'd spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." You can be seated if you wish. I was trying to you know, get what I was going to preach on, talking to the Lord, praying, this, that, and what have you. And he brought me to this. And I was like, man, everybody in church can pretty well recite this. What are we doing? So I go a couple weeks, I'm trying to read, and as stuff would come to me at work or at home, I'd hurry up and I'd throw it in my notes in my phone to try to prepare. And I just kept going through it, and I was like, man, I know everybody knows this. Like, why are we going here? So I'm going to tell you the story of the woman. Think logically with me for a second, okay? She is unclean in those times. She would have been an outcast, somebody that was put outside the city walls, I'm sure, with lepers, people with infection, people who were just sick, demon-possessed people. I'm sure she's seen it all, okay? And then Jesus shows up. She makes up in her mind, I don't care how, I don't care where, I don't care. I'm getting to him. So, she had to get inside the city walls, where I'm sure people before, when she had tried, had picked her up and threw her right back out the door. So she had to sneak in some way, in my mind, to even be inside the city. And we're talking a great multitude. We're not talking 20 or 30 people. There's probably thousands of people that are surrounding Jesus. Peter's probably up there kicking people through walls and everything else. You know how Peter was, trying to get him away to walk. And she is probably pressing just as hard as she can, trying to move people out of the way, trying not to get elbowed, stepped on, this, that, and what have you. And you know, when she first comes to the crowd, it's probably not that bad because people are probably standing a person away. But the closer she gets, the more tight everything gets. And at some point, in my mind, they're probably not letting her through anymore. They're probably pushing her off. I got a mom that's getting ready to die. Go get in line. I got a brother that's sick, can't walk. Go get in line. We're all closer than you. Go get in line. The world does you like that from time to time. All of us. But anyways, as she gets closer, I'm sure, Ted, she had to drop down on her knees and begin to crawl through people. And this ain't like our times. We got a little bit of garbage on the side of the road. You had horses and I'm sure camels and all kinds of stuff that walk streets. You know what I'm saying. That she is crawling through. And I'm sure the further she gets in that tight circle, there's probably people already down on her knees and everything. She is on her belly, dragging herself to this man named Jesus. And finally she gets, and I'm sure Jesus is still trying to walk. Peter's still up there kicking people. And she finally breaks through, and with just in a little bit of area around Jesus, there's nobody. And I'm sure that's when she jumps and touches the hem. I want you to look at it through Jesus' eyes. He shows up, and people meet him on the shore. He comes by boat. Jairus, that's the first guy to him. You know, and I'm sure everybody else said, well, there's Jairus. He's the most important fellow here. We might as well go on home. Jesus is called to go heal a little girl. He's not too busy for you. He'll stop along the way. He's God. He'll stop along the way and love on you, pick you up, dust you off. Say, okay, now you can come with me. He's pressing through this crowd. People's probably hitting him and everything, just trying to grab him, I'm sure. And all he's got on his mind right now is this little girl. But just as soon as somebody pressed on through in faith, it stops him dead in his tracks. Now I ask the disciples, I'm sure, Peter, John, one of them is up there. Peter's probably fighting with somebody. But anyways, stops. Who touched me? Really? There's 14,000 people here. What do you mean, who touched you? They've been touching you since you got on the shore. And I'm sure when God turned around, everything fell quiet. Because authority stepped in. And everybody just stopped for a moment. And she comes. You know, she probably wasn't far away. Like we said, she was crawling, I'm sure. And touched his garment. I'm sure he didn't run a marathon after she had touched him. He stops, and she's there. Here's probably the best thing about it. She got healed, by all means. But daughter gets, the definition for daughter is descendant. See, we all look at it as she just got healed. And she did. She also got salvation. When he calls her daughter, he was loving on her. He said, I know you've been through it. And you come to me. So here's what I'm going to give you. Somebody that loves you this much. That'll push this much. Now, the word thronged. Y'all heard me read that. That's what they were doing to Jesus. In the Greek, it's got quite a few meanings, but they all come back to pressure. So there's a pressure around Jesus Christ, around the throne room, that we got to press into sometimes. It is wonderful when the Lord comes down here and just tears us up one side and down the other. I love it. You love it. I get it. But sometimes when you're going through that valley, and you're down in the creek, and you're crawling, you're soaking wet and muddy, sometimes you got to say, all right, enough's enough. I'm going to stand up and quit pitying myself. And I'm going to press on into God. See, because that pressure that sits around the throne room, around Jesus Christ, like I said earlier, when you start pressing into that, all the doubt, the stress, the worry, and everything else have to leave. They have to stay on the outside of this pressure. There's no way you can get all that stress, worry, and aggravation into the place where the King is. It's impossible. When you push through, you're stripping flesh off into a spirit. You're becoming who you're truly supposed to be in the eyes of the Lord. That's where you get in that prayer closet. You push through and you cut that flesh off. Let it die at the door. And then press on in. You know how wonderful it is to be loved on by God? I don't know when that stopped. Why did we quit that in tradition? We sat down and hardened in tradition and said, God, we ain't allowed to do that no more. What is wrong with us? That's His whole purpose. I understand He steps off the mercy seat one day. I get it, okay? I'm not trying to preach that lovey-dovey God that other things preach, okay? But what I'm telling you is right now He's still on the mercy seat. And He's still loving on everybody here. Like I said earlier, I believe He's the only reason that the Father ain't turned and looked already and say, okay, they have destroyed enough. Go get them. Jesus wants this relationship with you. He wants to love on you. Just because we moved into a higher spot don't mean you don't get loved on. If my boys get older, I'm not going to stop loving on them when they turn 14 or 15 years old. God, I don't care if you've been doing this 60 years, God don't expect you to stop here and quit and getting loved on. Okay, it's all on you from now on. If that was the case, ain't none of us would make it. Are you ready for a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you truly ready? Because it's tough. Pat said something to me. He texted me yesterday, you know, everybody checking on me. I'm sitting at the house like this. He said, you just put a big bullseye on your back. I did. Because now the adversary will try to step in and do everything he can. This does not get easier. If you're comfortable with holding the world and God, by all means, that's on you. You can do that until he comes. But you'll be separated from the wheat. In order for you to go to heaven, we got to quit sitting in the church and just have church attendance faith. You got to quit. That does you no good. I don't care if I sit in this church for the next 80 years. When I croak, I ain't going to do nothing except meet somebody that says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I didn't work for the kingdom. You got to have a true relationship. You got to truly love God. How many of you love God? I don't see a hand. How many of you truly love God? I mean it. Search your heart. Do you love him? Do you truly love him? Are you ready to be persecuted and beat for his name's sake? Because if you're not, you don't love him. It is time to get out of all these traditional, ugly practices that we set up just like the Pharisees did when Jesus was here. You want to see revival? You want to see God move? Break your flesh and start loving God the way that he loves you. That's the only way you're going to see any of it. Now, if you're here this morning and you've been loved on, he will love on you more. If you are here this morning and you are struggling, I come to let you know he is ready. Ready to throw logs back on the fire. To gird you up in a time as awful as these. If you're here and you don't even know him, I don't care if you were laying in a bar last night. You picked the perfect opportunity to be here this morning, and there's a door that is open wide enough for you to drive a truck through right here. He will save you, flip you upside down on your head, and take you to places you never thought you would even be. I've been there, I've done it. Oh, Josh, you ain't been like me. Well, I never drank or nothing, but as far as lust and pornography and everything else, yes, I've been right in your shoes. Tell my wife all the time, I say, listen, I'll come through the house. I say, listen, this can be ugly. Don't beat me. I got to talk. I want to be a complete transparent page where Satan has no possible way to walk down any dark alley in my life to get anywhere near me anymore. He can do it. You got to come up here and let it go. You want baptized in fire? Come up here and talk to him. There's a lot of you that I love seeing you guys. Most of us went to school together. We're family. I mean, we grew up with each other and everything else. It is awesome to see you guys here. I'm so glad that this movement of God is happening again. Because this time it's set up where we're not going to die unless we choose to. He will take you to heights you have never seen and put you in places that you never thought possible. Look at me. I'm preaching to you this morning. Never thought a day in my life I'd ever be up here doing this. It is wonderful when you finally let everything go, put it down, and get serious about who Jesus Christ is. Now, are you ready to press into the presence? Dave, turn me some music on. I'm done, bud. This morning, I tell you what I want to see. I want to see this altar filled. I really do. That's just what's been on my heart for 2 weeks. But you got to be willing and ready. Promise, if you come and taste, you'll thirst no longer. You've been through hard times this year. I get it. You feel beat down and bruised? Absolutely. I got that too. Come up here and give it to God. Let Him burn it up on the altar like Elijah prayed that he did to the people of Baal. Y'all remember that one? That's what happens when you get into the presence. The spiritual, fictional place that people like to tell you it is, it's not. Look all through the Old Testament. When you get into a place of prayer in true spiritual place, God will do things that your mind can't comprehend because you're just flesh. Everybody stand up with me. I want to say first, I love all of you guys. I love everybody here. That's a part that comes along with Jesus. I don't want to see you hurt any longer. Barely survive. Come and get your fix on Sunday, and by Tuesday morning, you're so beat down and defeated, you can barely get out of bed. I've been there, I know. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm asking that you'll come meet Him. Come see who Jesus is. He will love you better than any mom or dad, take care of you and guide your steps, remind you when right is right and wrong is wrong. He loves you with an agape love. Is anybody ready to meet Jesus? This altar is open. And I don't mean just for the people who may not be saved. This altar is open for you to come up here and find God again. It's been a while. You're tired and you're hurt and you're upset. Come tell God about it and watch how quick He loves on you. He will rekindle your fire. You can have it all back. You can get your zeal back. You can get your press that you had once before to go share the gospel, to love on people, to pray for people. You can have every bit of that back. This is not a place of condemnation. I don't know why we made it up to be that way. It's not. The Spirit of God flows and moves at altars. I know they're man-made. I get that. That's a big fight right now. Well, that's a man-made thing. Yep, you're absolutely right. But when you got a prayer team here from 6 to 10, 11 o'clock every Sunday evening, praying into the Spirit of God, asking God to come here so that He can move, minister, save, heal, touch, whatever, the Holy Ghost of God floats up here like He did in Genesis on the waters. So if you want your fire back, come on up here and get it. Lord. Now, if you're newer to the Christian walk and have have seen how God moves, and you want a piece of the cake, so to speak, He will baptize you in fire and give you gifts that you can't comprehend. He will pour into you until you're so full that your body, your flesh, has to give up. And the only thing that flows through is the Spirit that lives within you. It can be woken up. The Lord is ready and waiting to love on you. For the first time, again, even more. Feel a fire in your chest, feels like you can't even swallow. And you actually listen to me, that's the first time you've ever listened to somebody in your life talk about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit of God talking to you, ministering, whatever you need. Listen, don't cut it off. You can go eat, whatever you want to do, after church. I'm not holding nobody hostage.